Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Show. It's July 20, 2015, and this is episode 481. I recently visited the Shiga Kōgen or Shiga Highlands here in Japan in the Nagano Prefecture as part of my trip to test the Canon EOS 5DS R. And one of my main goals was to capture the blue-green summer foliage. So today we're going to walk through three separate shoots on June 22, 23 and 24, 2015. On June 22, I'd spent the afternoon with the snow monkeys on my first summer visit, and we looked at the photos from the monkeys in the last episode. The monkey park closes at 5 p.m. though in the summertime, which gave me another couple of hours of daylight, so I headed up the mountain to the Shiga Kōgen area as I was hoping to get some landscape photos of some of the many ponds in the area. As you arrive in the highland plateau after driving up the mountain, the first pond is called Ichinuma, which literally means the first pond or number one pond. I parked my car in the car park down the road and walked around to Ichinuma. And as I arrived, the air was clear and I recall thinking that I'd love it if we got a little bit of mist to add atmosphere to the images. I'd made maybe three exposures of the lush greenery on the other side of the pond, and then all of a sudden a mist rolled in across the surface of the water and some low cloud came over from the back of the trees, as we see in this image. I couldn't believe my luck, with this mist coming in this way perfectly on cue. Remember, to see the images that we're talking about, you'll perhaps need to go to the blog at mbp.ac/481 and click on them with your browser window nice and wide so that you can see them at the full size. Although the 50 megapixels of the 5DSR is plenty to give me some great large prints, even if I crop down to this kind of panorama, I had been using the 100 to 400 millimeter Mark II lens and picking out just small sections of the trees, as we'll see in some of the other images after this. I just rotated the camera in the lens's tripod ring to capture some vertical shots to stitch together for a panorama, so I went ahead with the series of frames as the mist rolled in. The thing that you have to be careful of when shooting in conditions like this is if you aren't relatively quick getting your images, the mist and cloud can move so far that it makes it difficult for Photoshop to stitch the images together because the content of the adjacent frames can be too different. I was shooting in live view, as I often do for landscape work, and there's a bit of a lag after making your exposure before the image comes back and you can make the next frame. But as soon as it came back, I panned the camera around half a frame to give Photoshop plenty to overlap, and then I quickly shot my next frame and so on. The final image that we're looking at here is from a 5 vertical image stitch, and it's a whopping 140 megapixels. I can print this image at 24 by 43 inches at 432 ppi without any resizing, which will give an absolutely stunning image with amazing detail in the final print. These images were shot at a sixth of a second, f10, ISO 100, at 112mm. As quickly as it rolled in, just 5 minutes after the last image, the mist was gone, as we can see in this next image. I was feeling really fortunate to have arrived when I did and get that beautiful mist and low cloud, but it was gone, so I concentrated again on capturing the lush greens. The line of bright yellow-green colour along the waterline is from ferns, giving way to the green leaves on the azalea bushes around the base of the trees. And when you zoom in on this, you can actually see spots of orange as the azalea were flowering another reason that I decided to visit this area at this time. Although I like the wide aspect of the panorama images that we'll look at today, and also the landscape-oriented images, here I went for a vertical orientation to emphasize the vertical tree trunks and their reflection in the water. Note that I also composed this so that none of the tree trunks are cut off along the side edges of the photograph. It can be difficult with woods to find a good place to frame your shot, but it really helps with images like this if you can find good clean edges like I did in this photo. Note that I had also zoomed in to 148mm so as not to include any of the sky, now that the low cloud was gone. The sky was just white and lacked texture, so would have been just a distraction. This was shot at 0.8 seconds at f10 ISO 100. This next image is another stitched panorama from 6 vertical frames this time. Again, this is the shot that I had just set my camera for up for when the mist rolled in. So with the mist gone, I shot another series of images and stitched them together in Photoshop. Again, my goal here was to capture the lush greens with that flash of brighter green from the ferns, sort of punctuating the line between the real and the reflected world. The resulting image is this time 160 megapixels and can be printed at 24 by 44 inches at 453 ppi, which again is going to give incredible detail. Of course, I could print much larger, but I'm basing this on my own large format printer's maximum width of 24 inches. If I had a 44 inch large format printer, I could print this at 44 by 82 inches and still at 244 ppi, and that would be amazing too. And this is all made possible by the 5DSR and its 50 megapixel sensor and a bit of stitching. Of course, with a lower resolution camera, I could have done multi-row stitches, but I've never thought it worth going to that much trouble. I spent a total of 15 minutes at Ichinuma on the 22nd before heading back down the mountain to a business hotel for the night. The next morning I got up bright and early and went back to the monkey park until lunchtime, and then after grabbing something to eat at the convenience store, I drove back up to the highlands. I had booked a hotel just across the road from Ichinuma on the 23rd, as I wanted to get back to the pond at dawn the following day. For now, I was going to make the most of the afternoon driving around the various spots that I know in this area. I drove past them all initially because the sun was still high, and I went up to the highest point at Shibu Pass or Shibutoge, which is just inside the border of the Gunma Prefecture, next to Nagano Prefecture, where I'd made this photograph. This was shot with the new 11 to 24mm f4 lens from Canon, which I reviewed in episode 465. And remember, if you ever want to just jump to these episodes, use the short link mbp.ac and then add the episode number. So it's mbp.ac/465. I opened the lens right out to 11mm for this shot and made the image at 11 f/11 ISO 100 for 1/100 of a second and processed it in SilverFX Pro 2 for this beautiful contrasty black and white. The scene at this time of year is nothing really special, so I was really happy to see this somewhat dramatic sky that lasted really just a few minutes shortly after I arrived, and then a bank of cloud came over from behind me and it poured with rain for a while, so I was really lucky again here with my timing. Shibutoge, which is about 20 to 30 minutes past the main pond area, was the furthest I went, and having done a U-turn, I stopped at the location where I shot this next image of Yokote Mountain with, again, some nice stormy skies. This was again shot with the 11-24mm at 15mm this time for a 60th of a second f14 ISO 100. At this location, I'd actually done a few series of bracketed shots thinking that I might have to do some HDRs because the sky was so bright. And I was still at this point thinking that the 5DSR probably had slightly less dynamic range compared to the 5D Mark III. As I suspected might be the case though, I got home and found that I simply hated all of the HDR images that I was able to create from the bracketed images. I also find that my usual claim that I can generally get everything I need from a single frame, even when parts of the photograph seem very dark, continued to be the case with the 5DSR. It can be scary when you see the base image on the camera, but I now know that I can trust my instincts again, even with the 5DSR. Here is the original photo of the previous image, straight out of the camera, so that you can see what I mean. I just exposed to the right, so that the brightest part of the scene is on the far right side of the histogram, and there is enough detail in the shadows to bring it all back out with some slider adjustments in Lightroom. You'd think that there was no information in that black foreground that you can see in this image, but as we see from the previous image, that's not the case. I was also pleasantly surprised to see that the 5DS actually has slightly better dynamic range than the 5D Mark III, according to DxO Mark's tests. This text will be linked to the DxO Mark tests on the blog post, but basically they say that the 5D Mark III had a dynamic range of 11.7 EV or exposure value, and the 5DSR has 12.4 EV dynamic range, which is surprising but great to hear. I continued to drive back down the mountains towards Ichinuma and stopped at another pond on the way called Kidoike. It was raining, so I decided to go with the flow and included the droplets of rain in the surface of the pond, as you can see if you look closely at this photograph. Again here, I'm watching the edges of the frame, trying to find the best place to cut off the trees at the edge of the scene, so as not to have them sort of, you know, with the tree trunks cut midway. I'd have preferred a smooth, clear reflection, but I think that the soft summer rain adds a little bit of a different mood to this image, which I don't dislike too much either. This was a 0.5 second exposure at f14 ISO 100 at 105mm. I headed back to the hotel for the night after this final visit to Kidoike. On the morning of June 24, I got up at 4 a.m. for a dawn shoot. The sun was set to rise at 4:32 a.m. I think it was, so this would give me just enough time to throw on some clothes, grab my camera and go back across to Ichinuma. Because I'd gotten some shots with the mist on the surface of the water 2 days before this, I actually considered going back to Kidoike first because it had been raining the previous day and I wanted to get a clear reflection. I decided to stick with my original plan though, as I really wanted to capture a different mood at Ichinuma. I wanted to capture the foliage in the dawn light, which I figured would give the scene a blue-green look that I associate with the Japanese summer foliage, and I was lucky enough to get that back at Ichinuma as planned. As I've mentioned in the past, there's a very blurry line between the colours blue and green in Japanese culture. Ao means blue and midori means green, but the Japanese will often refer to green as ao, which means blue, but they really think of it as being green. It's confusing, I know, but that's how it is. This image was shot at 0.3 seconds, f16, ISO 200 at 100mm. I actually really wish I could somehow get a white horse on that shore in this photo. There's a Japanese artist named Kai Higashiyama who lived from 1909 to 1999. and he created a wonderful series of paintings depicting blue-green scenes very much like this photograph, but he painted in a majestic white horse. They are truly beautiful prints. The best example I can find online is to the cover. It's on the cover of a children's book called The White Horse, and I've linked to that in the blog post as well. I spent maybe 15 minutes at Ichinuma, as I was confident that I'd gotten my shots, and I wanted to get back to Kidoike while the sun was still behind the mountains. Once direct sunlight hit these ponds, the mist would be gone, and the blue-green would be gone too. As I drove up towards Kidoike, a valley filled with morning mist came into view, so I had to stop the car and walk back up to where I made this photo. I seem to be really attracted to birch trees. I think they're perhaps my favourite tree. I just love the contrast that their white trunks provides, as in the other images that we've been looking at today as well. This was actually quite a challenging photograph, as the valley has ski lifts and telegraph wires and other structures strewn all over the place. I shot something a little bit wider than this too, but there was a large pole to the left and wires running over the top, and I don't have the patience on the computer to mess around removing them. This image still captures the mood of the scene though. I love being out at dawn when all of this is happening. It's just a shame that Japan doesn't adjust the clocks for summertime. The sun rises around 4:30 and sets at 7 p.m. in summertime. We could put the clocks forward by 2 hours and actually be able to utilize the light in the evenings, but the fear is that the salarymen would then have an even harder time dragging themselves out of the office if it was still light outside. There is talk of doing this, but I wish they'd hurry up. It would open up many photographic opportunities in both the mornings and the evenings. The reality is that to get to any of these places from Tokyo, you pretty much have to drive through the night and sleep in the car for a while, or stay in a hotel, which is what I'm generally end up doing these days. Let's look at one last image of this series from back at Kidoike, shortly before the sun hit the top of the trees. This is another stitched panorama from around 6 frames. I used the new panorama stitching feature in Lightroom 6 to create this one, and it's actually pretty good. It is quick and saves the resulting file as a DNG, so you still get all of the benefits of a RAW file. The only problem is that you can't easily fill in areas where there is background showing. In this image, there was a slither of white in the top left that I was not able to crop out, or I would have gotten too close to the top of some of the trees. So I ended up going into Photoshop anyway to Content Aware fill that slither of white. Again, I'm longing for a white horse here. Maybe someday I'll make enough money to put it on a production and actually make that happen. For the exposure for this one, I was at 0.5 second, f11, ISO 100 at 100mm. We can tell that the light was coming up as the sun came over the mountains because the shutter speed was much faster now at this point. Shortly after this, the sun hit the top of the lake and the mist disappeared, and the contrast got up, and you know, I basically decided to pack my stuff away, jumped into the car, and started to drive back to Tokyo. I hope that the very similar theme in most of these images wasn't too boring for you today. I had a definite goal with these images, which affected the composition and the time of the images. I'm very happy with the results, and I can't wait to actually start printing some of these. Some of them are actually already available as fine art prints on my website, and I'll put some links into the bottom of the post here in case there are any collectors among you. And believe me, these are going to look stunning. They may well be some of the first 5DS fine art prints to hit the market too, which is pretty cool. So thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share a link with your friends. And if you don't already, please subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.